Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, it's John Taffer from Bar Rescue. Did you know the second building in America was a tavern? When I built my new restaurant franchise concept, Taffer's Tavern, I thought back to the roots of what makes a tavern, timeless character, all while delivering an unbelievably delicious food and beverage experience. That, paired with my 40-plus years in the industry, provides a clear roadmap to success. Do you have what it takes to be a Taffer's Tavern franchisee? If so, I'd love to hear from you. Visit franchise.tafferstavern.com.
You are listening to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast, Season 6. The podcast is supported by Scent Crusher, Scent Off, Game On, Tinks, Cat Work Truck, Victory Archery, Thorn Broadheads, Shadow Hunter Blinds, Cobra Archery, Burris, HHA Sports and HHA USA, Reveal Cellular Cameras, and Deer Camp Coffee. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast, Season 6. It's unbelievable, Tim, right? Season 6.
Kickoff show for Season 6. I don't know where the times went, man. I don't know where these last 11 years have went, and I don't know where the first five seasons of this went. But I'm looking forward to where Season 6 is going and kicking it off today with our special guests here.
Yes, yes. Chris from HHA, how are you, man? It's been a while.
Good. I didn't realize we were going to be the kickoff episode. I guess we got special royalty coming our way or something, huh?
That's right. That's right. You get a piece of Hershey's candy.
We'll take it.
We'll mail that.
That'll be frozen when it gets here. I like frozen chocolate.
And Sam from Chase Nation, how are you, man?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So Chris and I have been talking for a while and about this special project you guys have been working on, which is one of the reasons we wanted this to be one of the first episodes we did this year, because you guys are launching this coming up. And this project, it's a very humble thing to work on. It has a lot to do with our veterans, and it's super important. So I'm gonna let you guys talk about, but I just wanted to say thanks for doing it. Number one, I think it's going to be an incredible series. I'm so excited about it, and we are so happy to promote and show this thing off. It's going to be really exciting. So I don't know which one you guys want to go first, but I'll let you guys tell us what you're doing and what's coming.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Well, yeah. I guess I'll start just with Sam and I. I think we partnered back in the summer of 2020, was it not? Yeah, because last year I think was your second year at Warren's.
Yeah.
So
yeah, summer of 2020. Something like that.
So summer of 2020, we do an archery shoot at Warren's, Wisconsin, which, for people that aren't familiar with the geography here, it's a stone's throw from the Matthews factory, so Cranberry Country. And Sam and his team came, and I think I hand delivered your HHA sights to you guys that morning, if I remember right. And you
got
up on the range, and you were slinging arrows with us an hour later. So
yeah, we did the 3D course an hour after you put the sight in my hands.
Yeah,
I mean, I had been shooting HHA for a long time. I've been shooting the Optimizer. That was the first time putting a Tetra on my bow.
Yeah, we upgraded you to the latest and greatest, and that's kind of how our relationship started. And then I think I immediately obviously started telling you about what we were doing with our vet shoots. That's why you came there that day.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to last May, David Wooten, who is the primary subject of our first film, had contacted me in January. It's almost a year to the date that we're talking now, through our military discount, and just had a very powerful story about his time in the service, his resulting PTSD, and how archery had changed his life. And it really impacted me, and and that weekend in Warrens, you know, last May, really kind of shifted my focus on HHA USA, kind of not totally away from Honor Flight. We're still going to support them, but it really drove home the fact of what happens when you put a bow and arrow in a veteran's hand. And I mean, you brought five or six of your guys up with their cameras, and it was a powerful, powerful weekend. Changed your life. And this project was born out of it. I've told this to countless people, but I mean, I've been in the archery industry for my entire life, and this is hands down the most awesome project that I've ever been involved in.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Chris and I were on the phone, and we were talking about plans for the year, you know, and some objective planning, and then Chris had the idea. I mean, this is something that he's been doing for a little bit, but bringing me in and letting me capture it from behind the camera and then, you know, edit it into a film was a really, really awesome ask to be on the receiving end of. Of course, I wasn't going to turn it down. And as Chris said, you know, none of the guys on my team were about to stay home. They all wanted to be a part of it. And if they weren't running a camera, they were there just supporting. They were doing the shoot. They were talking to the guys, and they were in the background, you know, behind the scenes, helping with lighting and helping with audio and this, that, and the other thing. And it was really an awesome event. I'll tell you what, one of the things that, you know, when I get to talking about what went into making this film, we didn't just interview one person. David Wooten is the one that's featured in Mission 22, the film that we put together. But we did interview several veterans and get to hear their stories. And one of the things that I took away from that is, you know, these stories that they tell, there is like an unwritten rule amongst our military. And that is, you know, you never share war stories. And, you know, whether that's because, you know, you're not trying to compare to the next person's story. You don't want to make yours sound harder than the others. Or if it's just because, you know, you just don't want to relive some of those, some of the horrific details behind some of those stories. Whichever the case may be, the individuals that sat down with us and let us film with them shared some stories that only a few years have heard since they happened. And being on the receiving end and being behind the camera, you know, you don't just walk away from that and forget it. It's not so much just about putting together a film and thinking about the entertainment piece as it is. You walk away from it with a completely, to put it this way, you go in, I went into it having an immense appreciation for the military. I left that night with a whole nother level of respect that I don't think that the average civilian can comprehend unless they've heard, you know, or had some sort of an experience with our veterans or active military and got some firsthand knowledge of just what they go through. You know, we see it in movies all the time, and we, you know, you hear about, like, you know, giving respect to our soldiers, but boy, oh boy, when you hear some of these stories and you know what they live through, and it's beyond just one graphic story that might have been a part of their experience. You know, it could be just like breathing the air, or like in the camps, there's like, I forgot what they call it, but it's like a big stew pot they'd have to stir, and it's all their feces that they have to burn. And some of those guys come home and they develop cancer from it. You know, I don't know. Not only did my respect for military go up immensely, but I live with the stories that I heard. And sometimes, you know, I think to myself, it almost, you know, some of these things that I've heard these guys spell out for me, these details emerging from their memories of horrific stories that happened while they were serving overseas, they don't go away. And I think that's an important detail to bring up, because I think when people watch this film and they watch and listen to David Wooten talk you through the steps of his life and through the story that he shares, you know, it's heavy, it hits heavy, but like when you sit before a man and you hear it come right out of his mouth and you're just a few steps away from him, you really become attached to that story and it lives with you too. And it's like, I'm not going to say that I have some PTSD from hearing the stories, but some of the stuff that I heard, I wish I didn't hear, if I'm honest. That's a really hard part about making this film. But it's honor. Like, I feel honored that I'm able to be one of the people that was selected to be behind the camera and document this, you know. So I wouldn't, even though I'm telling you that it's hard to live with hearing some of those stories, I wouldn't turn it down. And I haven't turned it down. And we're filming new stories right now for the next couple of films that are coming up in this series. Yeah, it's heavy.
So it's intense. I mean, just listening to you, you know, what and listening to how you're talking about the people that you guys have interviewed and talked to and had on camera to produce this film that you guys are talking about. I mean, I can't help but think about the courage from their standpoint, and not necessarily just the courage that they had to go through what they went through, but the courage that they have to have in order to be able and want to share that with you guys and everybody else for the making of this. I mean, that's quite an amazing thing to know. And I mean, really powerful statement, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. No one ever thinks of the camera guy. So I totally understand where you're coming from when you hear that story. Chris, or those stories, you know.
You know, Chris has a relationship with a lot of these guys. In fact, everybody that I've had a chance to be introduced to is through Chris, of course. And so he's heard a lot of these stories, you know, firsthand. And you know, a couple of people have asked, like, the same kind of question has come up a few times that this conversation's been had. It's you know, how did you get these guys to, you know, talk about this? Like, you know, you just brought it up. How do you get these guys to talk about this openly on camera, you know, be recorded, you know, if it's that we don't, you know, the unwritten rule that, you know, soldiers don't share their war stories is holds up or holds true, then why are these guys sharing it? And, you know, one thing Chris did was he put me in contact with these guys ahead of time. We were in communications months before meeting in May when we went to that Warren's shoot, you know, through HHA USA. And we talked about it, and I got on the phone with each and every one of them and heard, you know, bits and pieces of their stories directly over the phone. And I asked the hard questions. Are you sure that, you know, when we sit down to record, you're okay sharing these details and more? And every one of them said, yeah. And I said, sometimes, you know, I can imagine when you're telling a story like this, you know, emotions, even though you guys are soldiers and you're, you know, strong guys and you're, you know, the ones that we all want to hide behind when trouble comes our way, you know, if emotion comes and, you know, makes your eyes sweat, are you going to be able to withstand that and keep recording? And are you okay showing, you know, that side of your emotion? And everybody was very much, and absolutely yes. And the fact of the matter is every one of these guys, well, what you find out when you start to talk to our military and our veterans the same is they're as selfless as it gets. And I mean selfless. And you think about what they're doing when they go to war. I mean, they're putting themselves out there to protect our freedom, right, and others. Right. So we know that they're selfless and they're heroic that way. But it also, you know, the true colors come out when they're willing to share those stories so they can remind other soldiers that are bearing them deep in their souls that they're not alone, that there's other people, big, strong guys just like them that have horrific things that they've gone through in life. And they don't need to go come out and tell their stories, but they need to know that there's a brotherhood and a sisterhood of individuals out there that have been through something that affects them in a similar way, and that there is an outlet. And one of those outlets is something that Chris is a huge proponent of, and that's archery and outdoors, you know? I was asked a question when I was down at the Badlands Film Fest. We submitted this film and it was featured in the Badlands Film Fest down at the ATA in Kentucky this year. We were down there for that airing, and it was a really neat experience. Afterwards, we were taking photos and whatnot, and somebody came up to me and asked me, you know, a few questions about the, you know, the whole process of what it was like, you know, filming these guys. And I really appreciated getting a chance to talk about that. Before, you said, you know, you don't really talk too much, or you don't really think about the guys behind the lens. When you watch something on TV, you watch who's in front of it, and that's kind of where it ends. That was really a neat experience to talk about it. But I just kept going back to this one story that strikes my mind. And it wasn't even, I mean, we did capture it on film, but it didn't even make the Mission 22 film. And that was when Badlands had sent Chris a bunch of gifts to give away to some of these veterans that traveled in to participate in the event for the weekend. And Chris, you know, gathered everybody around, and these guys were standing in a big huddle circle in the gravel parking lot at that Warren Sportsman's Club. And he started, you know, he kind of went through, you know, a brief introduction as to where the gifts were coming from and why he was giving away, and letting these guys know what a special place, you know, their service holds in his heart. And when he started handing these packages out, like bino harnesses and whatnot, I think every single person, Chris, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but everybody you gave it to turned and gave it to the guy next to him, or looked for somebody that didn't have one because they wanted to give it away. And that selfless nature is just unreal. I mean, I always go back to that story because it was such a neat thing to bear witness to. You remember that, Chris?
Oh yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I mean, it's there's a very unique fraternity within our veteran and active duty military, and you and I have been welcomed into that. Even though we're civilians, we didn't serve. These guys aren't dumb, and the only reason I say guys is because we have yet to have any female veterans in our circle, but I mean that's going to happen at some point. But I mean they instantly see our hearts for them. And I mean, are we going to cure PTSD? No, we're not. But we're going to do everything that we can until we go into the ground to try and do that. And they see that. And I mean, David Wooten, I've only known him for a year, but I feel like I've known him for 20. Ryan Lonergan, another guy that we met that's going to be, you know, in one of our films. I mean, Every one of these guys, it's an instant bond that you form with them. And they're just, they welcome you into their community. And it's humbling, and it's so special to be a part of, and to be able to come alongside them. And I mean, I say this all the time on my podcast and in phone conversations, you know, I didn't serve, but I'm proud to serve those that served us, and to do everything that I can to help them out through the sport of archery.
Amen. Yeah, for sure, man. It's hard to imagine that selflessness that you're talking about, right? Because we sit here and your day to day, you know, driving to work, going home, you know, all that kind of stuff, you don't see that often. Yeah. Right. And to see a group of men and women that have made that a core of who they are is dramatic, for a dramatic difference than what you see in regular life. Right. Which is huge. So I had a question. When you guys were sitting down talking about this, what did you guys envision as your goal? Like, what do you want people to get out of this?
Sam, you want me to take that one first?
Well, I mean, it's up to you. I could speak all day long about it, but it's your baby. I think you should speak to it first.
I mean, my goal, and I say this in all confidence, this is not a bold statement, but this project is going to save people's lives, plain and simple. I mean, when you see this first film, and hear of the impact that putting a bow and arrow in David Wooten's hand had on his life, it literally saved his life. He credits a pastor with putting a bow and arrow in his hands as him still walking this earth today.
Yeah.
And so there's somebody out there. There's a lot of somebodies. There's a lot of David Wootons out there that are going to see this film and the ones to follow that are going to be in a really, really dark place. And this film is going to touch them and they're going to go, maybe the 9mm is not the way to go. Maybe I'm going to go get myself a bow and see if I can get myself right. I know that's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen. So that was my heart behind it. That was why we did it. That's why we're doing it.
Yeah. And I want to weigh in on that too and say that, you know, another question that popped up down at Badlands at the film fest was, this person came up and said, so I love the idea that, you know, archery and outdoors is helping get, you know, this soldier through PTSD, but can you really look me in the eye and tell me, he was pretty straightforward, can you really look me in the eye and tell me that that's going to save his life, that that's going to be his cure for life? Or is it going to be a temporary thing? Eventually that's got to wear out, right? And I'm like, you know what? I came prepared to answer that question because it's already been asked. And one perfect example, if you take David Wooten, for example, here's a guy who, you know, and by the way, PTSD, what I'm learning about it is that it comes out in different, you know, colors. It comes out in different shapes and forms. It's not the same for everybody. For David Wooten, and he's very transparent about it. It's one of the things, not all of it, but not, you know, not in a nutshell, but just one of the things that gets to him is traffic. You know, here's a guy who didn't have a problem necessarily with traffic, and then he suffers from PTSD, and now little things like traffic get on his nerves. And it can ruin his day. It can take a good day and make it bad. And then when that, you know, trigger happens on the way home from somewhere, like he runs to the store and he's driving home and somebody cuts him off and really, you know, puts a dent in his day, he takes it hard and he walks in and that could be like the nightmare for the family. You know, daddy's in a bad mood, my husband's in a bad mood, so then everybody's in a bad mood. So what does David do? He grabs his bow, which is hanging right inside of the door by the door, and he doesn't even go into the house. He just reaches in, grabs his bow, and he shoots his 25-yard target along the side of the house. He shoots for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then he sets his bow down and goes in, and he's perfectly fine. That's his answer. And he can do that for the rest of his life. Something pisses him off and he comes home, rather than taking it out on the family and, you know, always having to say, you know, it's PTSD or whatever, he can wear it off outside shooting his bow. That'll never go away. And so that, in a nutshell, was the answer. But you know, I know for a fact that if I've been asked that question more than once, it's going to be wondered by somebody, you know, listening to this or after they watch that film. So I figure, might as well just bring it up now, because that's the long and short of it, of how putting a bow in somebody's hand can save their life and make them a happier person.
And that's a lot. There's a lot there. That's real powerful, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have skeptics. And I mean, maybe it's not archery. Yeah. Maybe somebody's going to watch this film. They're going to go, well, I'm not an archery guy, but I could get on a paddleboard, or maybe I'll start biking, or I'll start running. I mean, Sam, sure. I haven't even had the opportunity to tell you about this guy yet, but we've got another, not to make comparisons, but I think we've got another David Wooten caliber story on our hands from a gentleman that I met through a friend of mine that's actually part of the Badlands staff. And I mean, he's an amputee. And I just recorded the first half of a podcast with him on Monday that, it gives me goosebumps just talking about it. And I sent him the film. He's 100% on board. So he's hopefully going to make it up to Wisconsin this summer, and he's going to be the subject of a film next year. So, I mean, there's so many of these selfless veterans out there that want to share their story. And I mean, it's highly respectable that they put a uniform on for 4 years, 10 years, 20 years. But even when they take it off, they still want to serve. And those are the kind of people that are gravitating towards HHA USA and wanting to help the current and the future generations of our veterans.
What Chris just said too, these guys, just to clarify, it's not that they want to just be on a film. It's not at all their purpose. You find out exactly what I mean when you listen to these guys talk. They genuinely, Chris keeps saying the word serve. They genuinely want to put themselves out there for the sole purpose of helping others. And that is plain and simple. It is absolutely challenging for these guys to talk through these stories. As the one that's been sitting there getting them to talk and asking the leading questions and getting them to share some of the details and expand on it further to capture that on film, I'm witnessing firsthand from these guys. It's not that they want to relive this stuff. It's friggin' hard. But they genuinely are selfless enough that they know, they understand the purpose, and they're willing to do it for that reason. And I think in a sense, it also maybe, it's kind of like airing the laundry, right? It's like, you get your story out there, that unwritten rule, keep going back to it, we don't share war stories. Well, damn. I mean, that's hard. I imagine it's got to be terrible to live with. So in a certain respect.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Being able to just share it might be a release. I know for David it is. That's part of his therapy. Besides archery and outdoors, he tells his story, not just for this film, but he's told it many times. And it's helpful for him. Right now, Chris introduced me to a gentleman named Chad Stillman. That's going to be the next film that we launch. And Chad's not a military veteran, but he's a first responder. He's got like four different attributes to his title, but he's now retired from law enforcement. And I won't go into his story. You'll have to watch that film when it comes out. But, David, we talked about it, I think, on the phone the first time we had a chance to talk. I told you I was on the way to go meet a guy, and we were going to film. We were going to go on a hunt, and we were going to film his story. Didn't I tell you about that on the phone?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, man, we went on a hunt. We filmed it. It was awesome. We saw like 35 deer. That was fantastic. Go back to his place and we record the story. We go down in his basement and he starts telling, he's got his wife and two little girls upstairs, and girls are old enough to understand now. They're, early teens. And I just remember like when he'd hear a creak on the floor, like it was getting close to the top of the stairs, he would start talking quieter, or he would stop and listen, cause he didn't want them to have to hear that story again. They know how much it hurts. And I felt that, and that was,
intense.
It was
powerful.
It was really, I don't know. There's a, excuse me, to start that film as a radio transmission, you got to hear it. That was the last call he made before he retired.
That's incredible.
it's powerful. little bit surreal, like the way you guys are talking about it, but in a strange way, exciting, because I want to see this stuff.
Yeah. Right?
I mean,
yeah.
It's going to be really just the way you guys are talking about. I can feel the camaraderie that exists there. I can, you know, and the depth of somebody's soul just kind of bleeding out into that film, which is absolutely awesome. How many series do you guys are calling them series, right? That's what you're calling them.
I would just call it a series, a film series.
Okay. Yeah. How many are you launching?
We haven't even discussed the subsequent, because the Mission 22, just to give people a little history behind that. So my heart for veterans kind of started with the Honor Flight Network, which I know I've talked to you guys about before. And anytime I went on an honor flight, some of these pictures hanging behind me are the collages of the honor flights that I've either been on or sponsored through HHA USA. And they put a mission number on those. So, you know, Flight 35 was Mission 35. So when I started up our shoot series, I stole that idea from them. So, you know, 2020, we put on 8 shoots. It was mission 1 through 8. Last year was 9 through 16. This year we're doing 6 more. And that's going to be 17 through 23. We're not going to have a mission 22 shoot. And one of my volunteers called me out on that last summer when we were talking about our shoots coming up for 2022. And before he even had to explain himself, I knew why we were skipping 22, is because, and that was before the film even came into the picture. We just decided we were going to go right from 21 to 23 because we're going to recognize, you know, those 22 a day that take their lives. And we're going to do that. I don't want to say in honor of them, but just to put that number out there and to recognize that. So people put eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
And so then when Sam and I got talking about the film, it's like, it just made sense. It's like, Mission 22, I mean, that is the mission that we are always going to be on. When shoot number 16 is over, hey, it was awesome. We had a great weekend. We had 150 shooters. We raised $5,000. High fives. But Mission 22 is never going to end. That's something that we're always going to be doing. So I guess we'll have to figure out what we're going to do for subtitles on, like, you know, maybe it's chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, whatever. But the plan is, at least right now, is to do 2 more films this year. So the Chad Stillman film will release actually at Warren's. We're gonna advance preview that for anybody that comes to that shoot on that Saturday, which is May 14th.
Yep.
It's the first night of our first shoot. And then we're actually partnering with Whitetails Unlimited to do a banquet here in Wisconsin Rapids to kind of end our season. So hopefully we have, you know, 200-300 attendees at that. And that is where I guess we'll call it chapter 3. But the third film will debut at that in front of a crowd of 250 or 300 attendees at a Whitetails / HHA USA banquet. So
awesome. That's really cool. I was
go ahead, Dave.
I don't know where you are. So I was gonna say, so Tim and I both have a background in video editing and video production. Tim's got actually a lot longer than me, but some of the things I've worked on over time have been personal things I've done. And Sam, this relates to what you're doing in a little bit of a sense. I started this family biography tree of video production, filming elderly people in my family about their lives. And so I started filming these things years back now when I started BHP. I mean, because I started learning how to actually film things. And, you know, but some of those stories were like World War II stories and, you know, Vietnam, things like that. So what I would do is I'd film them and I wouldn't touch the footage again until these people passed away. So if I filmed something 6 years prior, I'd pull out the footage and go through that footage. And then I have to pair up that footage with, you know, the family wants this music and, you know, all these photos of the person. So I guess what I'm getting to is like, the editing production of that like took a lot out of me. And I remember feeling like, you know, it was like so sad to watch these films, right? And rewatching these things. But the thing about that people don't really understand a lot about production part of it is there's 2 pieces to it. There's number one, you got to film it. And there's a lot to the filming. I'm just saying, like, you have to ask the right questions. You have to get in the mindset with these people to make sure you're getting out of them everything that you can to help the production and help this amazing piece. But at the same time, then you have to later go back and edit this and put it all together, which can be very, you know, like I said, from the videos I did, it pulled a lot out of me doing those videos, and mainly because I had, you know, attachments to these people. But you're obviously building those attachments when you sit down with them and film them, and you're getting into their minds of what happened, you know.
Yeah.
So hats off, man. That's all I'm saying. I understand the pressure there. So that's not easy.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's that is a challenging aspect of that, of this whole thing. You know, when you're doing a storytelling or a storyteller's sort of a documentary style film, everybody's listening intently to every single word and they hang on to it, right? When you have like the David Wooten story, we trimmed down 45 minutes to 5 minutes for this film. Wow. The total film is 10 minutes long. There's 5 minutes with David Wooten, and then Chris is in there too for 5 minutes. But we took 45 minutes of storytelling and condensed it to 5 minutes. What that means is we're blading those clips. We detach the audio and then we have to cut it out, right? And then you have to overlap it so you can transition seamlessly from, you know, one audio bit to the next without making that white noise transition sound that can, you know, be distracting. I believe that is probably one of the hardest parts about, you know, putting a film like this together. It's something I don't think anybody ever thinks about, but you definitely think about it as a viewer if you're watching something that's put together kind of messy. Do you understand what I mean?
Yep. If it's Blair Witch Project, you're moving around in your seat the whole time going, I can't watch this.
Yeah. So that was one part. And then the other thing is we had four different cameras rolling for David Wooten's story. And I was all over my guys to make sure that, you know, our settings were identical. So we had the same lighting, our white balance was the same, you know, everything was perfect. So they would look the same from one clip to the next. So you wouldn't be able to tell, oh, he's going to a different camera. What kind of camera is that? Or does he have a lens filter on? No, it's
like, yeah, or you can tell that was a cut that they redid, yeah, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
Right. But the one thing I didn't do a good job of, and you wouldn't know this when you watch it, but it was making sure that their audio levels were good. Because even though I had, you know, David was mic'd, so I have one main audio file, right? That's only with one video file,
right?
But then I got these other three cameras that, you know, one guy had a shotgun mic in there, and his shotgun mic was off, but he had it plugged into the camera, so we weren't receiving any sound at all, right? And then one of them was just, you know, raw audio coming into the camera, and you can hear it, but you really got to turn it up quite a bit because he was a little bit far away from David when he was talking. So yeah, my point is you have to take all four of these video files and overlap them, and then you have to like put them perfect so that, you know, when David starts to speak, you can cut to any one of those four cameras and it's not like a lag time or something. That was a challenge because of the length of the of David's story being 45 minutes. You know, I tell you guys, I say press record and don't stop recording.
Because
it is so challenging for me to, you have like one of the guys, and I won't name names, but he hit record like six times. So I have like six video files of one 45 minute story, and I'm trying to search for, you know, the parts.
Yeah, resync them.
Holy smokes, is that tough? But
I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
Without the video, without the audio waves, it's real literally the worst thing in the world to try to put that with your audio, because now you have to go off lip movement or.
Yeah.
But those waves help a little bit, because at least you got all one peak. You can put it there, cut it, and then take to your one.
You know, you know those clipboards, right? The movies use to start their films.
Yeah.
Oh god.
People don't think about it, but that is actually highly important. It's a visual and it's an audio cue where they can cue their audio off of that initial noise
clip.
And it makes, if you don't have that, and Dave and I are both testaments to it, trying to match audio to visual is nearly impossible unless you have certain cues to work off of.
You can see this thing here. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a audio split. This is a linear recorder, and I can record multiple channels of audio through this thing. I don't use it anymore, but you put two SD cards in here and say you bring in like two audio channels or four audio channels. They would all record on different like
files.
Yeah. The problem is that when you're using something like this, you don't have any audio on your actual video file. So the video file is completely quiet. Yep. So what we would do when we used to use that is a clap, you know, and then if you're out hunting, we used to have to do like a little like sound or like a, you know, so we knew it was such a pain. Yep.
No, that's absolutely true, man. There's a lot that goes into it for sure. But,
Tim,
you know, it speaks to the quality that you guys are going to be putting out, which is awesome. And I know your background is pretty in depth with all of that stuff. I want to talk just real quick about where people can watch this. Where are we going to be able to, where can I go and go find this film?
And Chris and I talked about that a little bit today, this morning. For sure, we're going to launch this on the Chase Nation YouTube channel. So Chase Nation TV's YouTube channel, it will be streaming there. I'm working with Carbon TV. Hopefully they'll put the film up on that platform. They already host three of our film series up on Carbon TV. I'm really hoping that they'll plug this one in as well. I'm not sure how we're going to work that, but it'll be figured out. I also have a streaming platform that we air a show on called KOTV on Roku. I'm going to have them put this on our channel on Roku. And then I know from Chase Nation and my personal page on social media channels, both IGTV and Facebook, going to stream it there. And I believe Chris and several other partners of HHA are going to be streaming it as well. You know, this isn't to build any sort of revenue stream. This is purely, we just want it to get seen so it can help somebody. So it absolutely doesn't matter to us where it's seen as long as it gets seen.
Well, and that was actually going to be part of my follow-up question, is that this is about people seeing it, right? The right people have to see it at the right time, and without sharing it and resharing it and sharing it again, you're not going to be able to have that happen, right? So for those that are watching, go find it, share it. You don't know the person that's scrolling through Facebook or wherever you're going to share that to might be scrolling through Facebook at the darkest time of their life, run across that. And to Chris's point, man, this is about saving lives. So, you know, go out there and do that for sure.
I want to make mention on our YouTube channel, this won't be monetized. So you won't have any commercials. Again, I really want to stress that point. It really makes no difference to us where you go and watch it. Nobody's going to earn a penny off of it. So it's just a matter of get it seen and share it with as many people as you can for the point you just made. You never know whose life it might touch.
Absolutely.
There is truly no way that I could have met Chad Stillman, the guy I was talking about, I just recorded with, and ever had an inkling of what kind of past he comes from. The guy is very well spoken. He's got a great sense of humor, and he seems like happy-go-lucky. You'd never know that he battles demons internally, ever. He just he really harbors it in. But damn, I mean, the guy needed an outlet, and archery was a saving grace. And truly, I believe, based on what Chad told me, his relationship that he's formed with Chris has really come to fruition, helping him, you know, therapeutically. So it's not just Chris. It's just that the outlet, you know, the reminder that something like HHA USA, I'll use it again, exists. You know, it's a nonprofit organization that gets first responders and military veterans and civilians together in one place at one time to just unite and be friends for a day or two and shoot the bows and shoot the bull. I think it's really, really darn cool. Can I just say one thing? Because I know we're probably going to wrap up, but I don't want to forget this. This is important. One person that we are going to be recording with eventually, his name is Kyle Wickert. And Kyle is a military veteran who I've was first acquainted with, spent time fishing with him on a boat. We even recorded a Great Lakes salmon fishing video together once. Super nice guy. I knew he served, but I didn't know he suffered from PTSD and it spilled out once. And I put him in touch with both Chris and David Wooten. And I mean, I'm sure Kyle will say it on his own, but I can probably say it for him too, that, you know, I know for a fact that those conversations that he had with both David and Chris, who were complete strangers, he just got on the phone with them. I asked the guys to call him and they did. And Kyle talked to him. I think they saved his life. I genuinely do. Wow. And that's where that selflessness and that serving others really comes to fruition. So just let that marinate for a little while, because that's a true story.
That's what it's all about, man.
That just happened. And I say this all the time, but I'm very open about my Christian faith, you know, that I rediscovered a half dozen years ago. And this entire project is, I might be the front man on it, but I'm not the boss. I work for that guy up there, and he's got me on a project to save some veterans. And so I'm just the water, you know, coming out of the hose. And so, yeah, I remember that. That was shortly after we filmed in Warrens.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that he basically outed his PTSD on Facebook.
Outwardly, very openly. He just was like screaming for help.
And you called me and I'm like, man, I don't know what, I don't feel qualified. And he openly shared this on his podcast with me, but I mean, he was battling alcohol at the time. And that was one of my demons. You know, I didn't serve our country. I didn't go to war, but I was at war with myself for a lot of years over a bottle. And so that was how God wanted to use me to help Kyle. And David was able to speak to the PTSD side of things. So, yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, I said when I started HHA USA, if we can reach one person, we've succeeded. And I think we've done that countless times over already. And we're just getting started. And I mean, one more really, really cool thing that came about that you'll see in the film. I mean, David is a born again Christian. He's got an amazing testimony. And I think that's how him and I bonded so quickly. But he was up here in May for a shoot, and then he flew back up in July for another one. And he and I were sitting around with one of his other buddies, Terrence Golden, that served. And then my good friend, Al Quackenbush, who was actually, he's a civilian, but he's got PTSD from being at the Route 91 shooting in Vegas. So the four of us were having dinner in Appleton, one of our shoots last summer, and David and I decided, hey, we need a Bible verse that's going to connect us, that's going to bring the two of us together. And I get goosebumps every time I tell this story. And he pulled one up on his phone and he showed it to me, and it was Galatians 2:20. But let that sink in for a minute. 22 is right in the scripture verse, and it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, I mean, you talk about, you can't make that stuff up. You just can't make that stuff up. And I mean, like I said, I didn't serve my country, but I'm serving my veterans, our veterans now. David's doing the same thing. Sam is doing it. And there's a lot more of us in this HHA USA family. And it's just, I mean, I can't wait till May 14th and 15th, because that's going to be a family reunion of the HHA USA family. And I've already got guys that I haven't met face to face, literally from around the country, that are going to be coming in for these shoots this year. And it's mind blowing to see what God is doing with this ministry. It's basically, it's a ministry. it's a ministry. We're here to serve our veterans. And I mean, you talk about God-given talent, that bald guy on the other side of the camera there from down by Milwaukee, Wisconsin has got, he's got it going on. If Martin Scorsese could call me tomorrow and want to take over this project, then I would just say, Marty, I'm good. I got my guy.
Chris, that. Sam, thanks guys. Appreciate it. Make sure you guys check out Chase Nation as well. Obviously HHA USA. And I believe this will have already aired when we air this. So we'll put the link below where you guys can find it. I also want to end on just showing this photo that I just got, and I keep this, I'm going to put this above my podcast table. When we talk about selfless people, this is the guys going on D-Day, going on the beach for the first time, and up in those hills is where a lot of them met their death from Nazis. And so I'm a real big fan of World War II and the sacrifice that people gave to us to be free. So every time I think of something, or if I, you know, doubt anything in my life, I always remember that war and what they went through to make sure we're free, which is very incredible to me and a God, you know, a blessing that God gave us. So Tim, any last words?
No, man, this has been, I guess, yes, cause I'm talking, but it's been a pleasure, guys. It really has been. I mean, just to see how this has kind of humbled you guys, change your point of view on different things. But I mean, the goal of this is to just share it, right? I mean, share it, share the story, share the testimony of these guys that they're making the film around, and to get the word out there is all they're asking for. So I think we can handle that as a community. And I look forward to seeing what you guys have coming next.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I'm gonna call you guys out on the carpet before we quit recording, and you can edit this out if you want. But I would love to see you guys come over to Wisconsin for a shoot this year and bring your podcast gear with you and see one of these things firsthand for yourself, and let some of these veterans share some of their stories on your podcast. I think you guys could make a weekend out of it, and we'll fill up a half dozen podcasts with some of these veteran stories for you if you guys wanted to do a little series on that. So that's just a impromptu.
I love it, Chris.
Idea. So sorry to book.
I already have that on my plate of something that we need to talk about. So I definitely was already thinking that way.
Well, now your listeners know about it. So now it's got to happen.
I love it. John. I love it.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Thank you guys
so much.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.